Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crypto News Podcast. We're buzzing as always. And today we have Marina Gurieva on the show. She's the founder and CEO of Neon Labs, the developer behind Neon EVM, the gateway for Ethereum-based applications to access the scalability and liquidity of the Solana blockchain without changing its code base. She's actively involved in the blockchain space and has been since 2015, where she was the director of Cyberfund, a platform that invested in blockchain startups. She also joined Common, a blockchain-based social network, as a director in 2019 to spearhead blockchain-based social networking run by self-governed communities. In 2021, Marina founded Neon Labs to bring Solana's scalability and low transaction costs to the Ethereum ecosystem. Without further ado, I'm very pleased to welcome Marina Gurieva to the Crypto News Podcast. Marina, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pumped to have you on. I love your smile, too. You're bringing good vibes to the show. We love to see it. You and the team have had quite the journey and have built something very incredible. One thing that a lot of our listeners reached out, I got a couple DMs when I sort of let people know that you were coming on the show, and they were asking about the impact of the whole FTX's relationship with Solana, as obviously you guys are building on Solana. I know this question is probably getting a little redundant for you, but I need to hear it from someone who knows their Solana shit, and that is yourself. How does that impact the ecosystem? How is it impacting you guys? Will Solana still be around in the future? Tell us everything you know about this.
So just we are very glad that we are not affected by this thing because Alameda didn't invest in us and we didn't keep any funds on FTX. But then we know a lot of projects that are affected by FTX crash. And some of them will go through difficult times because, like, they used to keep their funds on FTX because Alameda invested in them, and it was a statement within the agreement that they have to keep the funds on FTX. So, but hopefully, we will go through this difficult period, and the ecosystem will grow stronger due to this crash. Basically, what we expect everybody who is not capable of building and doing and going through the hardships to go away, and those who are capable of overcoming challenges, they will stay. And we're in talks with many teams, so they just do some optimizations within their teams, but they want to stay, and they want to build, and they want to go further. So I hope that the best projects will stay.
So Solana moving forward, though, should we have anything to worry about? You know, like I know they had a crazy partnership with FTX. FTX was funding a massive chunk of Solana. FTX also brought on a bunch of venture capitalists to fund the Solana ecosystem. Again, I'm not a Solana expert. I hold a very, very small bag of soul. But I'm just curious to understand what's going to happen in the future.
So, yes, they had a very strong partnership with FTX, but Alameda and FTX, they were not the sole investors into Solana. And basically, they have several other huge investors that are capable of continue supporting them. And as far as I know, they want Solana to stay. And everybody who is building on Solana right now wants Solana to stay. And they definitely will have less money than what they used to have. And they will just spend less, but then they will spend wisely, I believe. So it's they're still capable of spending a lot.
And again, we'd love to see that. Obviously, as someone in this space, and I think I speak on behalf of everyone here, I don't think anyone wants to see Solana fail, unless you have a crazy short, a leveraged short on them. We'd all love to see them bump. Before we get into Neon, I'd love if you could give just a quick explainer on why a lot of developers and creators and founders, builders did choose and continue to choose to build on Solana and Rust versus Ethereum and Solidity. I know there's the classic, you know, it's a lot cheaper, a little quicker, so on and so forth. But I'd love if you could talk about sort of Solana scalability, you know, the low transaction costs and the other pros that the Solana ecosystem has.
So for me, it's not about like costs or throughput. It's more about user experience because we used to build a social network based on blockchain. And so I can like compare user experience on Ethereum, for example, and the Ethereum-based chains with the user experience on other chains. And I know for the applications like social networks or like games, so you have to to choose the chain that eventually will give the users the same quality that they have on Web2. And Solana is perfect for that. So it's when you want to build something that like normal public, general public will start using one day, you want to provide them the user experience similar to Web2. And so you have to choose between non-Ethereum-based blockchains. Because unfortunately, what user experience on the Ethereum is still not similar to Web2 experience.
Interesting. How would you describe sort of, you talked about the usability and sort of the, you know, the user experience. How, and my apologies, because again, this is definitely a tough question, but how could you explain the difference between Solana and ETH in regards to user experience? Wouldn't they be pretty similar?
No, definitely. So you just have to start using any application that like as mentioned, any social networks, for example. When you start using anything similar to social networks on Ethereum, or like you will get a lot of delays and you will be not able to get the response similar to what you have on Twitter, for example. On Solana, you will get like the similar experience as on Twitter. So it's like you're just typing and then you're sending and then you suddenly have the like your message popping up on your screen. And with the Ethereum, you have to wait a bit and something might happen, but a bit like not as soon as on Solana. Not as soon as on Web2. Not as quick.
Sorry. It's a great point. And another thing that's really interesting is Solana's sort of thesis, which a lot of people have coined to be the Ethereum killer, right? Everyone came in and was like, oh, Solana will replace or is more efficient than Ethereum. Obviously, that in some capacity, it's been proven to be true. And in others, it hasn't. But one of the things that I love about what you guys do at Neon, more specifically the Neon EVM, is you demonstrated that Ethereum and Solana can be sort of complementary ecosystems, which is, you know, everyone always talks about interoperability and how important it is. And you guys are really putting foot forward and working on this. What exactly is sort of the Neon EVM and how does it help Solana and Ethereum be complementary ecosystems?
So me personally, I don't like this Ethereum killer thing. Because like Ethereum was my first love. So I still remember how I read the white and yellow papers of the Ethereum in 2014. And I was very, very impressed by what I read. And I still believe Ethereum did a lot for the blockchain ecosystem. So, but then, as mentioned already, so I used to build like the products that should be used by general public. And so I know the shortages of the Ethereum in terms of like when you need to build an app which will be like used by general public with the similar velocity and everything, and then you just can't. So, and Solana is great because it provides the technical capabilities of building the apps that can be used by general public. And I believe that our main goal for everybody who is right now within the crypto space is to attract general public into the crypto space. So it just, we like, there are like, I don't know, but under 1 million, I believe, active users within the crypto right now. So we have like to onboard others. And for that, we need like to build applications on top of the protocols that allow to build something comparable to Web2 applications. And this is why I love Solana, because the tech is great. So the tech really allows builders, us, to build something on top of it that will like eventually let users enjoy the speeds and the quality of interaction similar to Web2. So, and in terms of Neon, we're building the solution for the Ethereum dApps to come to Solana to deploy their contracts without any changes on Solana, and like to tap into Solana market with the applications that are already like enjoy success on other Ethereum based chains. So, and this is for us like a challenge and an opportunity, and this is for the applications a huge opportunity because they're tapping into a new market, Solana market, which is different from Ethereum-based market. And they just, it's their strategy. They usually like go on each and every EVM-compatible platform because they want to tap into the new market. So everybody is like, is about more users.
Would that sort of be like your moral compass and your sort of company goal is to just onboard as many users as possible to crypto? That's what it sounds like.
Yep. Frankly speaking, yes. For me, it's like the single goal that like I want to achieve by building anything on top of any blockchains is to attract more users to crypto. Because like otherwise, we're just... It's a nice thing to play and it's a nice thing to build something within crypto, but like without real users coming in millions and like billions, we will like stay here with like not so many of us enjoying some nice things, but it's not about big markets. It's not about adoption.
Yeah, it's tough. It's such a tough sort of end goal. Again, it's good. Goals shouldn't be, they shouldn't be broad and easy. They should be, you know, specific and tough. And that's exactly what yours is. You want to onboard, you know, millions of people to Web3. Have you and the team found it difficult over the last couple of weeks to keep grinding and building with all the, you know, all the turmoil and the FTX shit show and now Genesis and Digital Currency Group with Barry Silbert and everyone else? Have you found it difficult at all, or is it still just head down, building, shipping?
So it's my third bear market, to tell you frankly. So it's like, okay.
You've been in three crypto bear markets.
Yeah, so it's like...
Wow.
Okay, so when it comes for the third times, you're sort of accustomed to what is happening and like you expect it to happen. So it like literally, it differs like in some minor things, but then it's a bear market. Okay, so right now we have like, I do remember how Mt. Gox crashed in 2014. So it's like, now we have FTX crash. Okay, so but like a lot of teams still have funds and they have like talented engineers and they are capable of like building and shipping. So during the bear market, you have to focus and you have to build and you have to ship and you have to onboard users and test your product and find product market fit in order to be prepared for the next bull market.
I can't believe you've been through three. That's crazy. Could you tell this one was going to happen? Like, were there any telltales where you were like, oh, this is, you know, now, the time is coming?
Yarn Mungox crash, we lost some funds because we kept them on Mungox. And it was like the worst bear market I had ever experienced because we were not that smart to diversify and this was really like something when we thought okay, so Bitcoin is down, crypto has a very bad reputation, what will come next? And then suddenly Ethereum came and it was like, okay, it's not that bad. So you always like during bear market, you're just waiting for something good to happen and it always happens.
Well said. Very well said, Marina. We're going to take a quick break. Got to give a huge shout out to our sponsor of the show, and that is Prime XBT. Big shout out to Prime XBT. Been using them for a hot minute as they offer a robust trading system for both beginners and professional traders. Doesn't matter if you're a rookie or a vet, you can easily design and customize your layouts and widgets to best fit your trading style. They are also giving Crypto News podcast listeners a sweet promo code. You get 50% of your deposit. That is 50%, 50% of your deposit credited to your trading account. That's a nice fat little bonus waiting for you. And again, the promo code is CryptoNews50. That's CryptoNews50, all one word, to receive 50% of your deposit credited to your trading account. And now back to the show with Marina. Another thing that I find super interesting with this whole Solana versus Ethereum is the different events that are thrown. Now, I know you and the team are at Solana Breakpoint in Lisbon. I don't know how I feel about these events. The only sort of blockchain specific event I've been to is Bitcoin, you know, the Bitcoin Miami, the sort of the most popular one, which is a great time. But how do you feel about these blockchain specific events? Like, you know, Solana Breakpoint in Lisbon or ETH Denver or, you know, what was in Colombia a couple of weeks ago? Was it Atom or something? Anyways, how do you feel about these? Like, I feel like they're cool, but at the same time, like, is it really working that much? Like, is it just a bunch of blockchain devs hacking away in a hackathon? Like, what's your take on these industry specific events?
So right now, we like try to participate in Ethereum events and in Solana events because like we need the Ethereum developers and we have to present our product to Ethereum developers at the same time. We are more than happy to talk about what we did at Solana events. So to my mind, these two like type. Like Ethereum and Solana events, they differ from each other. Like, and it's more about
how so.
Yeah,
how they differ.
I would say that Ethereum events, especially some of them, are still very community driven. So they are not done by Ethereum Foundation. So they are done by local communities, like in Amsterdam, for example, or in Paris.
Right.
And so it can be compared, but it's not comparable to something that is done by Solana Foundation. Because like Breakpoint event is done by Solana Foundation. And it's a huge conference similar to any big Web2 conferences, like, and this time in Lisbon, I was impressed because, like, it came to my mind that it reminds Apple conferences, like how they announce all the products that they're working on, like Solana stores that are similar to Apple stores, or Solana smartphones that are like with the dApp stores on them, which are similar to Apple iPhones with the app stores on them. So, and it was like, very, very similar to something what Apple does. So, and definitely, it's not like it differs from Ethereum conferences or Ethereum events. So, because like they're more decentralized in the way how they organize. But then there are pluses and to both of these. Like during Ethereum events, it's easy like to talk to people, to participate in some events, like to have meetups or something else. Like, and it's easy to find the right people because usually everybody is like is put in a very 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 small space. So with the Solana, you have like three different like stages like dispersed across Lisbon. So yeah. And like the one for builders, one for the main announcements, other for future ideas, and so on. And you have like to go between them in order like to find people and to talk to people. So it differs, but still it's good. I like conferences, and especially after COVID, I enjoy them a lot because like personal connection is the best connection. Like
still
you
matters.
Never have the same experience via Zoom meetings. Like never ever.
Very true.
You meet the person, you start talking, you discuss things, and suddenly you just know him or her, and you can like go forward and you can like communicate afterwards much more easily, and it's like super nice. And you can like discuss a lot of things, like when you're standing like close to each other, and you can talk for hours and like discuss every single thing that you want to discuss. So I love them.
I could tell you get fired up about them. I'd say I'm probably more of an introvert at heart. After a day at a conference, I definitely need a bit of alone time just to recharge. But they are a lot of fun. So it's always a good time, especially when you and everyone there usually has the same positive motive and wants to see good for the space, wants to see innovation, people biddling stuff. You love to see it. It's usually a good thing.
It's also about learning, because like during these conferences, like I love to go to different workshops and the development workshops, because like you learn a lot. Because when you're sitting there and listening, and you see and you have an opportunity to talk to the guys who are presenting afterwards. So it's like, okay, I'm learning this and that and that. And it's like during a single day, you can learn much more than like during several weeks or months even. So it's like, it's a special pleasure of mine to go and like participate in these workshops.
It is. It's truly a treat. I often get asked, what is harder to learn, Solidity or Rust? What do you think the answer is?
Rust.
Rust is harder than Solidity?
Yeah, but for sure. Because like it's not my personal opinion, though I'm an engineer by education as well. So it's the opinion of our engineers and the very senior engineers. They know a lot of languages and they know a lot of frameworks. So during the hiring process, we have to assess the candidates, and Rust developers are harder to find, like, definitely. In terms of Solidity, almost anybody like can become a Solidity developer. And like in terms of Rust, nope. Not anybody can become a Rust developer.
What makes it so much harder? And again, try to explain it to someone like me who has a very minuscule technical background. And so try not to use any like complex jargon, because it would just go right over my head. Like how does it make it so much harder?
Yeah, but Solidity is similar to Java in a sense, and it's like simpler. So you can like, it's literally simpler. And you don't need to learn a lot. You don't need to understand some frameworks additionals in terms of like you can not know a lot. You can like understand very, very basic in terms of how like to code, and then you start building, and then you can also find a lot of code written in Solidity on GitHub, and you know how like the developers do like nowadays. They just go and like Google and find like the proper code similar to what they need on GitHub. Then they read and then they make changes. And so in terms of solidity, so it's like a very easy thing to do. In terms of Rust, first you have to understand like more difficult frameworks than Java. And then you will not find a lot of Rust code on GitHub. So it's literally about your capabilities of like being an engineer more than a programmer. So if you understand what I mean. So engineers, they have like not to program only, but they have to think about algorithms and maybe even mathematically. So they first have to have these structures in their heads and then like afterwards only start writing something because they have to think about how to optimize the code, not about like how to code. In the simplest way possible. So this is what is difficult and this is what differentiates a good engineer from a good programmer.
And this is where Neon EVM comes into play because you are enabling Solana and ETH to work together. So by doing this, I assume you can onboard a lot more devs because you can just use Solidity devs, right?
Correct. Yes. Basically, anybody who has any Solidity dev can come and deploy Neon without any changes to the code base.
So cool. What's on the agenda for the next sort of, you know, couple months and moving on to Q2, 3, and 4 of 2023? What does Neon have on the back burner right now?
So first we will do mainnet launch. In December we'll launch EVM itself on Solana mainnet. So it's still on Solana devnet. We've been testing it since April and we've been testing it properly in order like to ensure that any single major dev Ethereum dApp can be deployed easily without code changes using the standard Ethereum tools. So then going forward for the next year, our main goal will be to build the solution that will enable the interoperability between dApps deployed on Neon EVM and Solana dApps. Basically, what I'm talking about is like Aave deployed on Neon EVM calling any Solana dApp and vice versa. So it's like something that we want to have and that will just boost the ecosystem. Because like in this way, Ethereum dApps deployed on Neon EVM will have the opportunity like to communicate with any Solana dApps. And so like it will be a big ecosystem available for users.
That's so cool. And this is
it's very difficult. It sounds easy, but it's technically
I know it's difficult as
consideration
hell,
the architecture of Solana. So it's very, very difficult.
And yep. You guys are launching or plan on launching December 12th, right?
Yep, correct. Yeah.
Is there any reason for that? Is a little 12-12 action kind of thing? Is there any?
Yeah, it's a nice date. It's a very
just
nice.
Just a good day to launch?
Yeah, just good day. 12-12-2022. So,
walk me through a regular day in Marina's life. Before we went live, you were telling me that you were in France this morning and now you're in, you know, Estonia. What does a regular day look like for you? Do you have any, you know, high performing rituals or habits that allow you to be a high performing individual? Like just walking through a day, habits that you look forward to, anything of the like?
In terms of my personal habits, I do meditate each morning and I do yoga each morning. So and basically I start my day by meditating and doing yoga exercises. And then we have daily plannings in the morning and everything else goes afterwards. So, and this is what I do regularly because otherwise it's a lot of stress right now, and not only in crypto, but in general. So the world got like crazy. And so I just need to stay perfectly
grounded, like, insane.
Correct.
Love that. How are you so happy? You've been smiling. We've been recording for what, 33 minutes, and you've been smiling the whole time. Like, what do you do to stay so upbeat and happy?
Yeah, but like, first of all, I'm very glad that we eventually met, because it's for the third time, and then like, it's a pleasure talking to you, and we're discussing very. I love crypto space, and I love people within crypto space, because they're not normal, but in a good sense. So they
we're all a little bit off our rocker, 100%.
Yeah. I'm really enjoy talking to the guys. I just love to share my ideas and to discuss their ideas. So it's like, for me, it's a real pleasure to talk to you right now.
I love that. That's I appreciate the kind words. I know we're getting a little tight here. We always do a segment on the show called the Hot Take Factory. We jump in and our guest gives a couple hot takes. Doesn't have to be crypto related. Can be food, politics, if you want to get super spicy, geography, sports, you name it, anything. What are a couple marina hot takes that only you believe in that most other people do not?
Most of the people do not?
Yeah, like a hot take, for example.
Can you give an example from your side?
Yeah, 100%. I think that all of society should be sauning 4 to 5 times a week. I think it should be mandatory. I think that would alleviate, I think that if I was the ruler of a country, not ruler, if I was prime minister, president, dictator, whatever you want to call it, I probably wouldn't let people eat breakfast unless you needed to take pills first thing in the morning to not destroy your stomach liner. Otherwise, I would make mandatory intermittent fasting. I would make mandatory hour daily walks outside or an hour of physical movement, 3 to 7 times a week, 20 minute sauna followed by a 5 minute ice shower. And the billions of dollars that would save the healthcare system, I think would pay dividends. That's a pretty hot take. I think happiness is a choice. I know that's another hot take as well. I get shit on all the time when I say that, but even when you're super, angry or sad or whatever the case may be, you can tell yourself a joke or watch a funny YouTube video and decide to be happy. So there's two ones for you.
Okay. So then from my side, I would let people meditate each and every day, because like everybody, literally everybody,
so good for you. So good for you.
to change our world a bit, like, but quickly. So, and then I would also switch off all the TV sets around the globe forever and ever. Because
you would ban TV? Come on. You can't ban TV.
I'm just, because like they just, people are brainwashed by those programs. So I just.
But that's that. Look, I agree with maybe turn off mainstream news, because 99% of it is absolute shit. But
yeah,
like what about sports? Like the World Cup. This is brilliant for the world. This is great. It brings countries together. I'm in Canada. We're playing a game in 20 minutes, and I don't have one friend who's not watching this game. We don't care about football/soccer. We don't give a shit about it here in Canada, but everyone's watching it. Come on, you can't say no TV. TV's good.
Okay, mainstream
news, but TV's good. TV's good.
Let's agree on news. Like, we'll just...
Yeah. Mainstream news is trash.
Yeah.
I agree. But TV as a whole, I think sports is good. I think reality TV, reality talk shows are absolutely terrible.
Reality TV is not. Sometimes it's like, it's literally not good for people's health. So it depends.
No. And all those like shows like The Bachelor, Love Island, all that stuff. Gas it. Never. Does nothing good for society.
Okay.
It's nothing. I like any other hot takes though? Any other ones you got?
Yeah, it's enough, I believe.
Love it. Good to know. I have so many too. I could literally start a podcast called The Hot Take Factory, but I digress. Marina, thank you so much for coming on. What a treat. Really enjoyed this one and would love to have you on for round 2 after you guys go live in, I want to say, when this episode airs, about 10 days-ish, about 2 weeks after. But it was truly a pleasure having you, and I'm very grateful for your time. Before you go, can you please let our listeners know where they can find you and Neon online and on socials?
Yeah, definitely. So it's very easy to find us. It's neonlabs.org. From the main site, you go to our documentation, to our Discord, to our Twitter. Everything is there, and like, it's a simple name you have to remember, neonlabs.org.
Amazing. We will include those in the show notes as always. Marina, thanks again. What a treat, and wishing you and the team all the best, and good luck with the launch on the 12th.
Thank you very much indeed. It was a pleasure, Matt. Great to and happy to talk to you.
Thanks, Marina. Folks, what an episode. Marina was dropping knowledge bombs left, right, and center, and taught us a lot about ETH, Solana, and how they can work together. If you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you did, please do subscribe. It would mean the world to my team and I. Speaking to the team, love you guys and the listeners. You're the goats. Keep on growing those bags and keep on staying healthy, wealthy, and happy. Bye for now. We'll talk soon.